thrown away.
Okay. So, now that we're done with that, let's get into this. So, last week we looked at... what did we look at last week? Preparing for a Christ-centered marriage. We've been going through the marriage stuff. I don't want to spend all the time to go through it because now we're short on time. So we looked at when you're preparing for a Christ-centered marriage, because that's the kind of marriage we want, right? And so we went through all that, and there's a whole bunch of points, and I don't want to re-preach it, but yeah, we should pray. My mind is scattered. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you, Lord. I thank you for just your word, Lord. I just pray that you would just bring truth to life, Lord, that your word would speak forth boldly, that you put me out of the way, and that it would be clearly shown what the will of God for our marriages really are, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you just bless us and just be with us in Christ's name. Amen. So, we looked at preparing for a Christ-centered marriage, right? And we went through all that, and basically I told you at the very end, we were talking about it was going to roll right into this week, and basically the will of God for your marriage. And we looked at that a little bit, but before we get into that, and if you guys missed it, we're recording it now so you can go back and listen to it. So there was a couple questions posed to me after I taught last week, and I figured if somebody asked, maybe I should just address it quickly, because sometimes I say things before I think them through, which isn't the best thing. So I guess that's the good thing of not being for sure the past point teacher, because I just tell you how I feel about things, and maybe that's to my demise, but we'll see how that works out. So one of the things that was brought up was I made the comment that God's not really worried about your wish list of a future spouse. Your wish list as in you want him to be, you know, what I meant by that was God's not worried about you having a tall, handsome, hunk-looking guy. He's more worried about you marrying a Christ-following, saved kind of guy and you being yoked up with him. God is very interested in the details that you pray to him. But if it comes down to that guy or that guy, God wants you to be married to the guy who's following him or the girl that's following him. So don't get me wrong when I'm like, God doesn't care, because God does care. He really does. But he's more worried about you marrying the right person. And if you guys ever have any questions, just ask me, because there usually is method behind my madness. So another thing that was asked was... apparently, I said, and I listened, but I said that you're not married to the wrong person. I don't really remember the context, but I was like, we were talking about, you know, well, what happens if I'm married to the wrong person? And I said, well, you're not married to the wrong person. And I kind of talked to some people, and I've prayed about it, and I've got into it. And so here's what I mean by that. You obviously can marry the wrong person. It is very true that you can marry the wrong person. If you are, let's just play a scenario out. If you're a married guy and there's this really good looking chick that you really want to be following God, but she's not, and you're like, but she really likes you and she's willing to marry you, and you're like, you know what? I'm just gonna do it. And maybe if once we get married and she just sees that I keep going to church and I just keep doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, that eventually she's going to get saved. That's going to be my number one goal, is to get this girl saved. You're getting married for the wrong reasons, and you are marrying the wrong person. We looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where it says, do not be unequally yoked. And there is a scenario where you can be unequally yoked with a saved person. If you've got somebody dragging them along, you need somebody who's going to yoke up with you and get the will of God done. Right? That's the kind of person that you want to marry. So, you can be unequally yoked in that sense, but you don't want to marry somebody because you like them or because you want them to be a certain way. You need to marry somebody because they're following Christ and because you're going to link up with them in ministry. And that's what we're going to get into today, is what God's will is for that. Because once you get married, God has a plan for you. And there's a will for you. But to finish that thought, you can obviously marry the wrong person. But once you're married, once you have said, I do, even if it was the wrong person for the wrong reasons, that's the person that God's got you with. It's not God's will for you to separate from that person because they're lost. Or you may have both been lost when you got married. Paige and I's case. We were both lost, totally in sin. Did everything for us. And God worked those things out. We both got saved. Actually, she got saved before I did. And I'll just put this out there. It's a really good example. Paige wasn't interested in me. I wasn't really interested in Paige. It was just the way it was. Really bad marriage before Christ. We can get into the testimony sometime. But Paige got saved, and her prayer to God was, God, release me from my husband so I can go find a godly man. And God made it very clear to her immediately that no. In Corinthians, Paul's very clear, and God's very clear, that when you're married, there you don't just skip out on that. That's why you need to be very selective in when you are choosing the person you're going to marry. Because once you are, if you get into 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul lays all that out. And I don't want to spend a ton of time there, but he lays all that out. And if you're married and then now he's lost, you've come to find out, or for whatever reason you got saved, and well, you're right. Now you're, I'm not going to say bound to that, but your ministry now is to reap what you sowed. That's who you married. And God's not going to say, okay, well, now go find somebody that's saved. That's not God's will. So I hope that kind of clears it up. You can obviously marry the wrong person. But once you're married, I'm not going to say that God made a mistake. You made a mistake, and now you're going to follow up on that. So I hope that kind of clears it up. It may have made it more confusing. I don't know. So, all right. So I want to look today at God's will for a Christ-centered marriage, right? So the first week that I got into the marriage stuff, I taught, we kind of glanced over the will of God for your marriage. So I don't know if anybody remembers what I said that was. I'm sure nobody does. It's no different than, okay, you should all know this. In discipleship, you learn this. What is the will of God for your life? Because it's obviously different than the plan of God for your life. But God's will for your life is to, if you're lost, be saved, obviously. And then once you're saved, it's to find a way to get on board and to bring glory to God. That's the will of God for your life. Now, the plan of God may be very different. My plan and your plan might be different. My plan and whoever's plan. I mean, your plan, God's plan for your life may be to serve at Heartland forever. Praise the Lord. God's plan for Brad may be to go to India. Praise the Lord. You don't ever know. But the will of God is the same for everybody. It's the same thing for your marriage. God's will for your marriage is the same. Now, His plan for your marriage may be different. His plan for mine and Paige's marriage may be to go wherever. That's fine. But the will's always the same. And what, I mean, what is that? So let's just lay it out. What is the will of God for your marriage? It's to bring glory to Him. I know it's really disappointing that it's not to be happy, because that's what the world wants you to do, is to get married and be happy. But that's not God's will. God's will for your marriage is to hook up with your spouse and bring glory to Him. That's where we finished last week, when you're preparing for a marriage. And I was looking, I was using a bunch of P words, trying to alliterate it and be really sly. And I was like, you got to prepare to, and I was like, procreate. I couldn't think of anything. It was really late. And Paige is like, maybe you should have said produce fruit. Yeah, that's better. But you guys had your minds all jacked up, because that's not what I meant. The whole thought process behind that was, you need to prepare once you are finally married, because that was the very end. Once you get married, now what are we going to do? Well, it's not about just being happy. It's about, what does God want us to do? What's God's plan for us? And so you need to, what I was talking about was, you need to be ready to yoke up and go serve the Lord together. And then so I thought it led right into this really well, because now that you're married, what's God's will? What is it that God wants you to do? And I think this is really key. So today I want to look at an actual married couple in the Bible, because there's not a whole lot to look at. So I picked out a couple and pull out a few points from their lives to look at and see exactly what this looks like practically. And that's Aquila and Priscilla in Acts. And you might be the type of person who asks the question, why does my marriage have to have anything to do with God? We go to church, we're both saved, isn't that enough? I mean, my marriage is separate, can't we just... Well, no, that's not God's will. Remember a few weeks back, I made this statement when I was talking about this. And I said, understanding the will of God in your marriage will be the most important thing that has ever happened in your marriage. And I truly believe that, because that's the truth in my marriage with my wife. Understanding that God has a will for my marriage. I knew what he did for my life, but there's actually a will for that too. That was completely eye-opening for us when we got saved. The sooner you realize that your marriage isn't about being happy, like I said, but instead it's about how you as a ministry team can bring glory to God, the sooner you can actually do something meaningful for God. Psalms 119:27 says, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works." Jeremiah 4:22 says, "For my people is foolish." I think he's talking about us. "They have not known me. They are a sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." You have to understand what God's will is. Proverbs 2:5 says, "Then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." Proverbs 14:8 says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." I listed all these out and there was like tons more, but it was just the point of God's trying to let you know something. He really wants you to understand what he's trying to do. It's just no different than with the Bible stuff we were just talking about. You can have this book, but if you don't understand how you got it, I could not even think about it, and I just think it's another book. And I wouldn't read it because I don't read other books. But the fact that I know the story behind it, I know the truth that's revealed in it, now all of a sudden it's real. It's no different than God's knowledge. If it's just knowledge, it's nothing. But when you have to understand what he's trying to say, and I pulled all those out just to make you understand that God wants you to understand what he's trying to say. Remember I told you how much of an impact this had on Paige and my marriage when we finally realized this. So we got saved, and it was totally new. I didn't know anything about the Bible at all, nothing. And Paige had kind of grew up in church, but so we were like, who's this person I'm married to? Because you're not the wife that I had before. And she's like, well, I don't know who you are either, because you're not acting like you were before. So it's like trying to figure all this out. So we roll into a marriage conference. And I'm not trying to plug the marriage conference. You can go or you can't. I don't care. But it was Mike Blake talking about the will of God for your marriage. And I remember sitting there thinking, what in the world is this guy talking about? And I'm trying to figure out, because I'd just been saved maybe a couple months. I'm trying to figure out God's got a plan for me, and now I'm not doing whatever I want to do, and now all of a sudden he's got a plan for my marriage. And it was like mind-blowing. And when I finally started to process that, it was like, there's a purpose here. I'm the kind of person, I function better when I have a goal and I can work towards it and I can see progress. I couldn't have a job where I just do the same thing every day and I never see progress. I would go crazy. I have to see things happening. I like to build things because I can see progress. The same thing, it was God, there's a clear goal to shoot for, and it was like, I can do that. It was like it processed, it clicked in my head, and it was one of the most important, impactful things that happened in our marriage. And I think that young married couples, or even anybody who doesn't really grasp this is something that God's got a purpose. Go do it. It's not about what are the kids doing this week and what are we having for dinner. And those are the things that fill in around what God's doing. And that's got to be what your life's about. So let's take a look at Aquila and Priscilla and see some good qualities that will be found in a marriage that brings glory to God. So I said Acts chapter 18. Let me get there. And we're not going to read the whole chapter because there's only a few things talked about these guys. But everything that's said about them is really good. So the first thing that you find them with is you find them with a testimony of godliness, right? And let's start in verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was the same of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. for by their occupation they were tent makers. So Paul rolls in, and there's a lot of things going on in Rome, and if you're Jewish, you had to get out. So anyway, basically, Paul, for his occupation, what he did for a living, he's a tent maker. I don't know what they're building tent poles in, doesn't really matter, but that's what he did. That's what his job was. Just like most of us, we've got a job to provide. Well, that's what it's saying. Priscilla and Aquila, same thing. They're tent makers. So you would think that that's all they've got in common, except for the fact that there's something going on here. And so the first thing I want to see about them is that they simply have a testimony of who they are. They're a godly couple. That's the first thing that you see about Aquila and Priscilla, is they're a godly couple. What's the first thing people think about when they see your marriage? I mean, just think about that. When people, lost people, or even people from the church, what's the first thing they think about when they look at your marriage? When they look at my marriage, what's the first thing people think about? Do they think crazy? Do they think, I mean, I don't know. But I mean, what's the first thing? Do they think that's a godly couple? And that's what I would think about if, you know, I met Aquila and Priscilla. It's a godly couple. We all know that Paul is one of the most godly men who ever lived. Obviously, he's Paul. You read the New Testament. He wrote most of the New Testament, so I would say that he's a pretty good judge of character, and he thought Aquila and Priscilla were the right people to be around. It wasn't like there was nobody else around. There's people everywhere. But he's like, he's searching out. He's like, I can be with those people. That those are my people. You know what I'm saying? So he's just, it made sense. Aquila and Priscilla were not in the limelight. They weren't the leaders in the church. They weren't the leaders of the ministry. They weren't the people who were like, hey, look at what I'm doing. They're simply bringing glory to God in their daily lives. And just think about that. Is that what your marriage pictures? Just whatever I can do to point things back to Him. Is that what your marriage does? We also see that they're very hospitable. It says that Paul abode with them. Obviously, Paul being Paul, they were like, hey, just come hang with us. Just live with us. He abode with us, is what it says. There's something about these people that Paul's latching onto. Paul's like the most famous Christian in the New Testament, other than Jesus at his time. And yet, Paul's living with these guys. If your marriage is bringing glory to God, then you're going out of your way to minister to people daily. I mean, just think about that. You're going out of your way to minister to people daily. Simply think about your lives over the last few weeks. I was thinking about this morning as I was going through some of this. Have you, or how have you, as a married couple, taken time out of your schedule to minister to somebody or someone outside of the walls of the church? Let's just preface that now. What have you done as a couple to intentionally minister to somebody? Because that's what God's will is for your marriage, is to minister to people. Not just to lost people, but to save people, to anybody. What are you doing? Because that's what God's will is for your marriage. So how are you doing that? How are you applying that? Because those are the things that you have to... I mean, that's God's will for your marriage. If your marriage is bringing glory to God, then these things will happen naturally. You're always going to be about God's business. You're always going to have people over at your house. You're always going to be reaching out to those who need help. Anything that has to do with building God's kingdom and not your kingdom. Because that's the first thing you have to realize, is that it's not so much about me, but it's more about God. And how can my marriage reflect that? Because you already should have that mindset as a Christian. Less of me, more of God. What can I do to bring glory to God? But to apply that to your marriage, or to your future marriage, and this is the person that I have to minister with, that I get to minister with for the rest of my life. What are we going to do together to bring glory to God? Whether that's bringing lost people to Christ, whether that's ministering to people in the Passpoint class, I don't know. But what are you doing? How are you using what God has given you? I'm really kind of lousy at certain aspects of ministry, hospitable ministry. My wife, really good at it. I got lucky there. I mean, that you should balance each other out. That's just the way it works. That's the first thing we need to see. That Aquila and Priscilla, they were found with a testimony of godliness. And that's bringing glory to God. That's God's will. When the first people think about your marriage should be these people are they're bringing glory to God. So the next point, you find a leader. That's what Aquila and Priscilla did. They found a leader, and they followed and learned from there, from them. Skip up to verse 18, chapter 18, verse 18. Because it doesn't say anything else about it until 18. It says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila." Here they are again. They just show back up. "Having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow." So there's a lot of other stuff there, but the last thing you see is Paul's living with these guys, and then he's going off, he's ministering to all these different people, and then all of a sudden he's leaving again, but look who's with him. So Aquila and Priscilla are there. So you can kind of put two and two together and think that these guys, they've been following Paul. Because Paul's out there getting the work done. You know from reading the book of Acts that Paul's out there ministering the word. So the next thing we see about Aquila and Priscilla in their lives is they don't think they have it all figured out. Right? They don't think that I've got this. A marriage that's fulfilling the will of God is a marriage that is always willing to find and follow a godly leader and learn from them. Right? Even if you've been, I don't know. Don't take this wrong. I'm not saying you should follow men, but I am saying that we should follow godly men as they follow Christ. Right? You should find a godly man and follow him if they're doing something for God. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." It's a key any time in life to find someone who's busy about God's business and learn from them, right? Aquila and Priscilla saw what Paul was about. He's out there doing everything. And they followed him so they could learn from him, right? What's the saying? You should always have a Paul in your life, somebody you're following, learning from. You should always have a Timothy in your life, somebody that you're investing into, teaching everything into. And you should always have a Barnabas in your life, somebody that you're just ministering right alongside with. It's straight out of the book of Acts. I think it's a really good analogy. You should always have somebody you're learning from, somebody you're always teaching to, and somebody that you're ministering alongside with at all times. And those people should change. You shouldn't always be following the same person. You should always be teaching different people, but you should always have those things. This is pretty much what discipleship is, right? Attaching yourself to someone for a period of time to watch and learn from them so that in time you can in turn do that to somebody else. It's discipleship. You're going to find somebody that's doing something that I need to be a part of that. They see Paul, he's out there planting churches. They're like, that's cool. Let's just go with him. Maybe we can learn something. So they go and they're following him, and the next thing you know, you find them investing in other people. That's what discipleship is. That's what the will of God for your marriage is. Find somebody who is willing to learn. Invest in them. That's what it is. And then send them out so you can find somebody else and invest in them. That's what God wants you to use your marriage for. Another thing to see here is that Aquila and Priscilla were already a godly couple, right? But they were still willing to follow and learn. Sometimes we think that because we've been saved for a while, maybe we've got everything figured out. I'm sure none of us think that, but and there's no need to follow and learn. I think Aquila and Priscilla are a really good example here, because the first thing we saw about them were they were a godly couple. They could have thought, that's cool, Paul, that you're doing that stuff, but we're just going to hang here. No, they always see that there's room to grow. There's always room to go. And then they're going to take it and invest in somebody else. I think that's really cool. So if we want to be fulfilling the will of God in our marriage, then we have to always be looking for someone to follow and learn from, because despite what any of us think, we don't have it all figured out. And I speak for myself when I say that. The times that I think I've got this is when I usually fall on my face. The times that I think that us as a married couple have something figured out, God's like, no, you don't. So always be looking for somebody to follow, even when you do think you have it all figured out, because God always wants you to grow. If you're the person that thinks that you've arrived, I'm sorry, because something's getting ready to happen. That's just the way that works. It's always happened to me. Anytime I think, I finally get it. You know, God's had to like run me through the ringer. I get it. And God's like, no, you don't. Just be ready to learn. Be ready to learn. All right, the third point. Find who, this is what Aquila and Priscilla were doing. They find that they found, they find who God brings to them to minister to. That's another thing that you're going to do with the will of God. You're going to find who God brings to you. Very simply. The next thing that a couple who's fulfilling the will of God in their marriage does is they find who God brings to them. I just said that. Now, I'm sure it was simply a coincidence that... Oh, let's read verse 24. It says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria..." So at this point, Paul's gone. Now, Aquila and Priscilla, they've learned everything that... Not everything that they can learn, but they've learned from Paul. Now they're here. Paul's like, "I'm going to go. I want you to stay and abide here in this church, this area." Okay? So... "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus." So this guy's got some things figured out. He's very zealous, very bold. "This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." So at first it says he's very learned, but then it's like he only knows the baptism of John. So basically he's the kind of guy that he got saved. He was kind of like me. He got saved and he didn't know a lot, but he took what he knew and he ran with it. And I was like, I'll pick up the rest as I go. He's very bold, very zealous. So that's where this guy's at. He's in there preaching, but really the only thing he knows to preach is the baptism of John. So, and then it says in verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. So now he's in there where Aquila and Priscilla are hanging out. And when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded him in the way of God more perfectly. So, okay. Now, I'm sure it was simply a coincidence that this man who was bold and zealous for the Lord, but simply needed a little bit of doctrine taught to him, bumped into Aquila and Priscilla one day at the church house, right? That's probably a coincidence. Right. A married couple who's fulfilling the will of God in their marriage doesn't miss it when God brings somebody right to them, because they're ready for it. They're prayed up. They're ready. You should be, as a couple, as praying. Well, you should pray together. We've talked about that. But you should pray together and be ready for... That's one thing you should pray for. Who do you want us to invest in? And don't be surprised when they show up, because that's what God's going to do. Are you always on the lookout of who God's bringing to you to minister to, just in your daily life, to share the gospel with? Are you always ready? If not, you're going to miss out. It's not a coincidence when someone who's looking for the truth simply bumps into somebody who has the truth inside of them. That's not coincidence. That's called divine appointment. But you know what? This is something I was thinking about this morning. That's only a divine appointment if the truth is shared. There could be a guy lost as a ball in tall grass. I've heard that before. This guy did not know anything about God, but be searching, and he could run into me one day who has the truth. I'm responsible to share the truth, and he could ask me, and I could blow him off. And you know what? That's not a divine appointment, because the truth wasn't shared. You have to follow through. You could, as a married couple, be like, "God, who do you want us to minister to? Who do you want us to minister to?" And be praying and praying and praying. And all the time, here comes couple after couple after couple that you're just letting walk by. Well, who do you want us to minister to? Maybe the people who are right in front of you, who are right there in ministry with you, who are right there following you already. Maybe those are the people you should minister to. They're only divine appointments if the truth is shared, if the investment is made. The example of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, right? The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts, we don't have time to go back and read it, but he's cruising along, he's reading the Old Testament. He didn't have a clue what he's reading, but he's just reading because he's looking for the truth. And he's just like, "I don't know what this means." And God just happens to tell Philip, "Hey, maybe you should go talk to this guy." And Philip goes, and he's like, "Well, what are you reading?" "Well, it's talking about a sheep led to the slaughter, and I don't really understand it, but it's probably good." Well, at that point, that's like open door. Are you going to walk through it? There's nothing divine about that if Philip doesn't go ahead and share the word, share the gospel. But what happens? He shares the word, the eunuch gets saved, gets baptized, you know the story. But that's how it works. You need to be prayed up and ready at all times, because you know what? God's going to bring people to you when you're not ready, when things are tough. when you're wore out and it's hot, it's 100 degrees at work, and the last thing you really have on your mind is ministering. And but you know what? You don't know where people are at. But people should at least know of you. They should know your testimony. They should know that as much as I don't want anything to do with church, I know that Jason, he knows he's all about it. He knows the Bible. And as much as I don't want to talk to him about it, somebody just died and they want to, just, the conversation comes up. Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to make time and bring the gospel into this, or am I just going to blow it off? Those are the kind of things I'm talking about. Real life things. I'm not just throwing, you know, scenarios out there. These things happen. People should know you because of who you are, because you are Christian, right? What are you going to do with it? Most of the time they're going to avoid you like you have the plague, right? We all know that. But then at the same time, those same people, all of a sudden something bad happens or something comes up in their life. My wife just left me, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. What are you going to do? All of a sudden now you're the person they want to talk to. Are you going to share the truth? That's what I'm talking about. Same thing in your marriage. Paige and I have a really crazy marriage testimony, but God's good. There have already been times where God's brought people into our lives that it's like, obviously God wanted us to minister to them because we've been there. And they could go to somebody else and they haven't been there because they did it right. They got saved first and then they got married and they'd be like, you guys are crazy. Being, God knows how to do those things. So you have to be ready. You have to be ready when God brings them to you. And that's what Aquila and Priscilla were. They were ready. If you're wanting to fulfill the will of God in your marriage, then you should be on the lookout for who God's going to bring to you next. And don't be surprised when He does. I mean, that's the crazy thing, is we pray, God, bring me somebody to minister to. And then they show up and they're like, oh my gosh, here they are. What did you think was going to happen? That's what happens. Be ready. Point four, we're getting close. Another thing that you're going to find in a couple that's fulfilling the will of God, you're going to find the Word of God being taught. Go back to verse 26, the second part of it. I'll just read the whole thing. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard it, they took him and expounded unto him the way of the God more perfectly. So Aquila and Priscilla, they're hanging out in there, and he starts preaching, and they're like, wow, he's really zealous. And God's got a hold of him, but he didn't have a clue what he's talking about. So what are we going to do with this guy? We could do A, we could run him out of here because he doesn't have a clue. Or we could use this, because this guy's on fire. It's like Jackson. Jackson doesn't even know how on fire he is sometimes. Find a way to plug this guy in and let God work it out. You're just going to run into people like that sometimes. So Aquila and Priscilla are like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to maybe pull you back for a minute, and we're going to teach you some things. Because we've learned them, now we're going to invest them. Because you're probably better at this teaching thing than I am. So I'm going to teach you what you need to teach, and you're going to go out there and be bold about it. Another way you can spot the will of God being played out in their marriage is that the Word of God's being taught, right? This can be a pretty simple way of measuring how well the will of God is being played out in your marriage. I mean, if you just want to evaluate. How often is the Word of God being taught in your lives, in your home? If the only time the Word's being taught is at church, then something's out of whack. And I'm not trying to, I mean, you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. We all say we want to live lives that glorify God. And then we want marriages that glorify God. But if we're not investing the Word into someone, or multiple someones at the same time, then we're just, it's just lip service. I mean, just really, I'll call it what it is. This may seem like a brash comment, and usually when I say that, it never turns out good, but anyone here at Heartland who says they want to minister, but they can't find anyone to minister to, you're making excuses. I'll just call it like it is. You're making excuses. Now, let me clarify that before somebody runs to Brian and I don't ever get to teach again. Because there is... Have you prayed about God bringing somebody in your life that you can invest in? Because you can be like, I want somebody to invest in. Pray. Ask God. You want to get involved in something? Be like, man, I really want to work in the children's ministry, but nobody's asked me. Ask me. I mean, anything, I'm just saying. Don't be the guy who's like, I'd get involved if somebody asked me. Take a step. You know what I'm saying? Anybody, have you prayed about somebody, about God bringing somebody in your life that you can invest in? Now, a lot of you ladies here in Passpoint, you're going through that Invest Bible study, right? Where Annie's teaching the ladies in here, and then you guys are investing in the youth. I think that's amazing. I wish I could have thought of that. Because who's next? It's us now, right? 10 years from now, who's next? The youth. And I spent, before we came to Passpoint, we spent years with the youth. And you know what's happening with the youth? They graduate and they gone. That's just the way it is. That's what I wrote my dissertation about when I was in HBI. Kids are graduating and they're gone. And you don't even want to hear the numbers because it's depressing. Where's the church going to be? That's why I think this Bible study is amazing. I'm noodling in my head, how can we do something with the guys? It's even more impactful. You know, invest. Because they're who's next. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. Have you prayed about God bringing somebody in your life that you can invest in? I already read that. If you're prepared and you're praying for God to bring someone, then look out. Because like I said, He's going to bring someone. If you're qualified and you're asking, and don't be surprised when it happens. It's just like we were talking last week. If you're a single person and you're praying about God bringing someone for you to marry, and you're like, I just want somebody who's saved, and I just want somebody who loves you, God, and I just want to, you know, I just want to get somebody that I can minister along with, and don't be surprised if they show up. They might not look like you want them to look. It doesn't matter. Don't be surprised when they show up. When you pray, God's going to answer those prayers. At some point as a Christian, you have to move past the saying that you want to do something to the actually doing something. Or, like I said, it's just lip service. That's my heart. Anybody who really knows me, that's my heart. It's ministry. Don't talk about doing something. Just do it. Get involved. Not because you're needed, because God wants to bring you along. It's no different than me and my kids, and like when I work on cars. The last thing I need is their help. Paige likes to come out and talk to me while I'm working on cars, and she asks a lot of questions because she likes to learn. If the last thing I need is, but you know what? You're investing. It's no different than the guys I work with. They ask me a bunch of questions, and I'm like, oh my. You don't need their help, but they just want to learn. The same way that, really, do you think God needs us to get anything done? Do you think God needs me to share the gospel with Joe Blow on the street? No, He doesn't. Because you know what? God's already worked all that out. But He does let me come along and get in the way and screw things up, and because He's just allowed me to be a part of it. That's how cool God is. I mean, really, that's how cool God is. Fulfilling the will of God in your marriage is always going to be linked to the Word being taught. Whether it be discipleship, Bible studies, simple life training on what God's taken you through, the Word of God being taught is like a proof of whether you're really fulfilling the will of God in your marriage or not. You know, you got these, you go through 1 John, you can go through the proofs of salvation. You want to know if you're fulfilling the Word of God in your marriage? Are you teaching the Word to somebody? 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Teach the word. You can tell stories and love on people all day long, but if at some point you don't get the word of God involved, you're not helping anybody. And I'm not saying those other things aren't good, because you have to build relationships. But at some point, you can build the best relationship with a lost guy and go to his funeral and feel really bad that you never shared the gospel with him. You can build the best relationship with another married couple. You guys can hang out all the time and do all the things together, and you know, but if you don't ever invest what God has showed you, are you really helping them? That's what the will of God is. When you look at the lives of Aquila and Priscilla, they had the will of God for their marriage figured out, and it started and finished with the Word of God being taught. If we want to have marriage that fulfill the will of God, then we cannot fool ourselves into think that we can do that without the Word of God. You can't. You can't. All right, the last point. You find them, Aquila and Priscilla, focused on God and not themselves, right? And there isn't really a scripture reference to go this, but I just wanted to point out a couple more things that about Aquila and Priscilla as I was just kind of thinking about all this that I think are relevant. So these are really good things, I think. Remember that the will of God for your marriage is not for you to be happy. I know I keep saying that, but what's the number one cause of a divorce? What's the number one reason? Irreconcilable differences, which is AKA means he didn't make me happy or she didn't make me happy. That's just the world we live in. That's not what it's about. But instead, it's to bring glory to God. So how do you do that? I mean, we've kind of looked at some things, but how do you do that? The simplest way I can tell you to do this is to simply die to self and live for Christ. I mean, as a person, as a married couple, I mean, just heart to heart, that's how I would tell you to start. From there, get in the Word, ask God. Less of you and more of Him. Understanding that marriage isn't about what you can get out of it, but instead what God can get out of it, is key to figuring this out. And any of you who are, you know, looking for marriage or whatnot, and you've decided that that's what God has for you is marriage, that's something to learn. It's not what you can get out of it, because you're going to come up short. That's just the way it is. Because you know what? That person you're married, that you are marrying, as perfect as they may seem, they're human. And they're just like you. They fall short. So God has to make up the difference. You have to rely on Him and not them. Less of you and more of Him. Aquila and Priscilla are not mentioned much in the Bible, right? But every time they are, the will of God's being accomplished every time. And then even later on, there's a couple times towards the end of letters that Paul's writing, he's like, I know Aquila and Priscilla are with you guys, tell them I said hey, because I love those guys. I know that they're out there getting it done. That's the kind of, I don't want to be the guy in the Bible. I don't want to be Peter or Paul. I don't, that's too much responsibility for me. I'll just call it like it is. I want to play the background, like Craig says. I want to play the background like it's an instrument. I just want to be known as the guy hanging out in the background, just doing what God told me to do. When we look at our marriages, can we say the same thing, that the only thing that we're focused on is accomplishing the will of God? Is that where we're at? Just like the will of God for your life. We just taught this lesson in discipleship not very long ago. I think this is really good. I actually think Paige said it, so it was really good. But the will of God for your life or for your marriage, that's very simple. It's very simple. Glorify God in everything you do. It's very simple, but it's not very easy. It's like with your life. It's very simple. It's black and white. There is no gray area. But it's not easy, because it requires you to die to self and live for Him. When you step back and look at the big picture, though, it all makes a lot of sense. Kind of like God had it all planned out the whole time, right? God didn't design marriage for us to be happy, because we're human and we always want more. So instead, He designed it for there to be a purpose, and that in the end, He gets the glory. Instead of, look what I did, honey, or look what I did, honey. It's like it was designed from the beginning. It's not all about what did I do and keeping your own little bank account. And it's what did we do for God? Who did we reach for God? I know I've said it before, and I'll probably say it again sometime, but understanding and really getting a hold of the fact that God has a real, tangible plan for your marriage is one of the biggest steps you can take in learning what His plan is for your life. Because once you get the will of God, now He's going to reveal your plan. And that may be moving to Saskatchewan and who knows? I don't even know where that's at. But until you understand what the will of God for your marriage is, He's not probably going to reveal the plan to you. That's just the way it is. But you know what? If you're in His will, the plan doesn't matter, because you're going to do it no matter where you're at. Here, there, it doesn't matter. It's just the will. Are you in His will? Are you bringing glory to Him? That's one of the... It's the simplest thing. It's the hardest thing to do. So... It's glorifying, though, and it's refreshing. I've seen it in my marriage. So let's pray, and we'll be done. Father God, Lord, I love You, Lord. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the truth that's in it. I thank You for just loving us, giving us away, Lord. I thank You for our spouses, Lord, or our future spouses who we're praying for even now, or our children's spouses, Lord, that You would just be in the middle of that, that we would be out of the way and let You orchestrate things the way that You want them to do. Because, Lord, that's what we do, is we get in the way. And we just pray that we would just simply step back and let You have Your way in our lives and our marriages, Lord. And I just pray for the marriages of the Past Point class, of the church here, and just for the country, Lord, as things are bad and seem to be getting worse. But, Lord, we know You're in control of all of that. So I just pray that we would just rest in that, that we would rest in the simplicity of the fact that marriage isn't hard, Lord. It's just bringing things to You. And that I just pray that we would just get on board with that more and more every day, Lord. And just pray for our marriages, that they'll be strong, great marriages, Lord. I pray for just Roger and Christina, Lord, as they're stepping out by faith, following You. And I just pray that You would just bless them, Lord. Give them security in their decisions, that that You're working. And I just pray that, I pray for the future church plant, Lord, as we know that they're just going to follow You by faith and just follow You. Because sometimes the plan's not known, Lord, but they're just following by faith. And I just pray that we as a class would just get behind them and pray for them, for their family, Lord, for the transition of the class, Lord, that You would just take care of that and just be with the leadership as they just work those things out, Father. And I just pray that no matter what, You get the glory and all of that. And I just pray that You go before us this week, that we could just bring the glory to You, Lord, like Brian was preaching this morning. And I just pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Yeah.